How many have ever memorized at least one verse? One Bible verse. Come on. Come on. One Bible verse. Okay, that's what I thought. Everybody has memorized at least one Bible verse. Sometimes you do it by accident, right? I mean, a verse is so familiar, like, yeah, I know that by heart. I have that one memorized. Sometimes even kids accidentally will memorize, right? They hear things, or sometimes there's a scripture set to some music, and you memorize it that way. I memorized my first Bible verse ever during my sophomore year in college. I've been a believer about 3 years by that point. I can't remember if somebody said I should memorize. I don't remember, but nobody told me what to memorize. I just happened to, this is the way I remember it anyway. I opened my Bible to Romans chapter 12, and I said, I'm going to memorize verses 1 and 2. I thought, out of all the verses I could memorize, you know, those two great verses. And so I opened the only Bible that I own, a King James Bible given to me by my Christian parents, the ones that helped lead me to the Lord, and memorized this in the King James. Let's say this together. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable under God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sounds so different, doesn't it, in the King James? Since that time, I've memorized about 600 verses, several New Testament books over the years. But personally, I've never developed a habit. It's kind of come in spurts over the years. Last week, I introduced you to this man in John Michelson said, I'm reading that book. I took your advice and started reading. He's loving that book. But here is what happened with him. He, if you remember, he was one of the most influential leaders in the tens of millions strong house church movement in China. But when he was converted, age 16, in his little rural village, no Bibles anywhere in his little village. So he began to pray earnestly for a Bible. Matter of fact, he begged God for a Bible. And if you read the book, through a really miraculous series of events, one day two young men knock on his door and present him with a Bible. He's just overjoyed. He cannot believe it. And he begins devouring this Bible right away. And here's what he writes. Every day, from morning to late evening, I read the Word of God. When I had to work in the fields, I wrapped my Bible inside my clothing and took every opportunity to sit down and read. At nighttime, I took my Bible with me to bed and laid it on my chest. In the beginning, reading my Bible wasn't easy because I'd only received 3 years of education. Furthermore, my Bible was in the traditional Chinese script while I had learned to read simplified characters. I found a dictionary and painstakingly looked up one character at a time as I advanced through the Bible. Huh? Who's putting that much effort into it? Well, listen to this. Finally, I finished reading through the whole Bible, so I started to memorize one chapter per day. After 28 days, I memorized the whole Gospel of Matthew. I quickly read through the other Gospels before proceeding to the books of Acts and started to memorize it. Wow. Now, if you read my email, you know that this morning we're starting a summer scripture memory challenge. Now, I don't expect, the challenge is not for you to memorize the book of Matthew, huh? The challenge isn't even for you to memorize a whole chapter. It doesn't really matter what you memorize, but here is what I do expect. I expect that if you're 5 years old and up, you'll memorize something this summer, okay? I'm not calling it a challenge for no reason. This is a challenge. I want everyone to be engaged in some kind of scripture memory this summer. If an uneducated, poor Chinese teenager can memorize 1,071 verses in 28 days, can you memorize 10, 20 verses in 90 days? Could you do that, do you think? Hopefully some of you will memorize much more than that, but my goal is that every person 5 years and up, you can do it younger if you want, but every person 5 years and older will memorize some scripture this summer. But that's not really my end goal. My end goal is that if you do that over 90 days, what's going to begin to happen? A habit, exactly right. That really is the end goal. That many of you will not only do that, but it will help you begin to develop a habit. Again, I memorized over 600 verses over about 30 years or more. That's not a habit. That's come in spurts. I've never been in a habit for it. In the last couple years, I've memorized, I think, 3 chapters. I'd like to do 3 chapters this next year. And I've chosen a Romans 12 to 14. So Lord willing, that's what I'm going to do. But if each of us could do some scripture memory over the next 90 days, do you think it could become a habit for a lot of us? Maybe a great majority of us? So I'd like everyone to memorize some scripture over the next 9 days. I'd like for the vast majority of us to develop a habit of doing that. But what really is the end goal? The end goal isn't memorizing scripture. Not at all. The end goal is transformation. I wouldn't have you do this. I wouldn't present this challenge just to cross some bar. But the ultimate goal of scripture memory is transformation. Isn't that what Romans 12:2 is all about? Isn't that what we read? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Through His Word, the Holy Spirit transforms us by the renewing of our mind. And I think scripture memory, right, do you follow, is the greatest way to renew your mind. Now, most of you probably understand that the word transform is that word metamorphosis, right? You probably heard myself or other pastors talk about that. Now the average butterfly, look this up, I knew it was short, but the average butterfly spends about 2 weeks in its chrysalis, and it becomes absolutely transformed, right? Complete metamorphosis in 2 weeks. Don't you wish that were true of you? Don't you wish the Christian life was like a chrysalis? Lord, put me in this little thing. You can dissolve me, and you can do whatever you want. Just let me come out completely transformed. I wish it was 2 weeks. But God, in His mercy, and you have to look at it that way, God in His mercy allows us an entire lifetime to be transformed. And I think scripture memory can have a key, can be a key component for that transformation. But I realize some of you are probably not yet convinced. Some of you probably read the email and you said, "You can't make me. You can't make me memorize scripture." You're right. You're absolutely right. I can't make you. But I would ask you to do two things. First, you would listen carefully to this message. You would have an open mind. So if you're like this, okay, you can't make me do it, will you lower your arms? Huh? Will you unfold your arms? I don't mean that literally. I don't care if you have your arms folded. But in your heart and mind, would you lower your arms and say, all right, I'll listen. And would you pray about it? Now there's where I got you, right? Because if you say, Lord, do you want me to memorize scripture? What do you think God is going to tell you? What do you think? I guess He could say, no, do something else. Spend more time mowing grass or playing video games or something like that. But would you do that? Lower your arms, listen carefully, and would you think about this prayerfully? So without more introduction, I want to give you 10 reasons why I think every believer should create a habit of scripture memory. And I'm not telling you how much to memorize, just some habit at some level. Point number one, scripture was written with the intent that it would be memorized. Did you know that? Scripture was written with the very intent that it would be memorized. What is the longest chapter in the Bible? Who knows? Psalm 119. That sucker is long, isn't it? I just happened to be talking to John Mikeson last night, and we were talking about Psalm 119, and I don't think I've ever read it all the way through in one sitting. I may have, but I don't know if I have. It's really long. But I'd like you to turn there. Turn to Psalm 119 in your Bibles, and somebody tell me what you see above verse 1. What do you see there? Aleph, not Alf, that little monster guy, alien guy. Aleph. Now, what in the world is Aleph? Aleph is the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And Aleph is equivalent to our English A, or it sounds very much like the Greek Alpha, right? Because it is essentially the letter A. So in Psalm 119, all 8 of the first verses begin with the letter Aleph. Now, you can see Hebrew goes left to right. That would be this way for you, I guess, if you're looking up there. And you see that character, which looks kind of like an X, begins the first word of each verse of those 8 verses. Now, if you go down to verses 9 to 11, which I can't all, or 9 to 16, I can't all fit them on there, you'll see it is the word, the letter Bet. It looks like Beth, but it's pronounced Bet. And the Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters, so the entire psalm is divided up into 22 sections, which with 8 verses in each section, and each of them begin with that same letter, the next letter in the alphabet. So that was written, it's called an acrostic, it was written in that way. Why? So you could memorize it, so you could have the flow and learn it. And this acrostic writing, acrostic psalms, is a memory device, and there's several more like this. In Psalm 111, Psalms 112, each verse begins a letter in the line. Psalms 25, 34, 145, each letter begins a half verse. In Psalm 37 and Proverbs 31, the second half, each letter begins a whole verse. And all of those are written in a way to facilitate committing them to memory. So think about that. God, in writing His Word, wrote at least some of it with the intent of memorizing it. So if He wrote some of it with the very intent of it being memorized, don't you think that's a good thing? Don't you think that's a habit that we could develop? Secondly, the Bible tells us to memorize it. Now, anybody read that? Able to read that? Maybe right in the middle of my Hebrew in seminary I could, but I can no longer read that, sadly. But I can do this. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, this is understood to mean that we are to memorize Scripture. A couple more passages, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Then, of course, this well-known passage from Deuteronomy 6. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, none of these verses say memorize Scripture, do they? Putting them in your heart, that really is the intent. That's what most people understand. The implication is to store it up into your heart by putting it in your head, first of all, and then allowing it to kind of percolate down into your heart. And honestly, can the word of Christ dwell in you richly if you don't have it within you? Now, you can always turn to it, of course, right? We always have so many Bibles on hand, we can always turn to them. But for it to really dwell in you, to percolate within you, I think memorization is the best way to do that. Dallas Willard says this about Bible memorization. He says it's absolutely fundamental to spiritual formation. If I had to choose between all the disciplines of the spiritual life, I would choose Bible memorization because it is a fundamental way of filling our minds with what it needs. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. That's where you need it. How does it get in your mouth? Memorization. Key. Absolute key. Third principle goes hand in hand with the first two, is memorization is the best way to meditate. And what we're talking about here this morning in Psalm 119 is meditation. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. That word meditate occurs 22 times in the Old Testament. 19 of those occur in the book of Psalms, and out of those 19, 10 of those occur in Psalm 119. So, and of course, what's all Psalm 119 about? It's about the Word of God. It's about Scripture. So all of those encouragements, all of those commands to meditate on the Word of God. And I don't want you to be afraid of that word, though, right? I think some people think, well, that's kind of a, don't New Age people do that? And don't Hindus and Buddhists, don't they kind of do those meditations? Well, yes, they do. That is because they distort something or meditate on something wrong doesn't mean that we should not meditate on the truth. And what is meditation? Just thinking about it, right? Just dwelling on it. You kind of turn it over in your heart and your mind. And again, that percolate, you kind of soak in it. And you begin to see things you've never seen before. And it begins to get into your heart and into your mind. It comes alive. And the result is you are transformed by it. It begins to change you, your thinking and your behavior, Lord willing. So that's the value of meditation, and I think meditation is best facilitated by memorization. Now, if your only goal is to memorize Scripture, then it's probably not going to be of a lot of value to you. But I love Martin Luther's example here. He was converted, I mentioned him as we're going through Romans, he was converted by reading the book of Romans and studying the book of Romans, but it was specifically him being engaged in the habits of meditation and memorization. He writes this, "At last, by the mercy of God, meditating day and night," now he's not a Christian yet, right? He's not converted, but he's meditating day and night. "I gave heed to the context of the words, namely, in it the righteousness of God is revealed," Romans 1:17. "As is written, he who through faith is righteous shall live. There I began to understand that the righteousness of God is that by which the righteous lives by a gift of God, namely by faith. And this is the meaning. The righteousness of God is revealed by the gospel, namely the passive righteousness with which the merciful God justifies us by faith. As it is written, he who through faith is righteous shall live." Here, now here's where he has his realization. "Here I felt that I was altogether born again and had entered paradise itself through open gates. There a totally other face of the entire scripture showed itself to me. Thereupon I ran through the scriptures from memory," okay? He's not converted, but he's memorized vast sums of scripture. He's meditating day and night on scripture, and that's ultimately how he was converted. Yes, he was in the book of Romans, and that's very important as well, but I love the fact that meditation and memory, God used that to lead to his conversion. Along the way, I want this to be practical. I want to give you some hints and resources so that you can better memorize. And I realize many of you are auditory learners, and I think you know by now, if you're an adult, whether you're more visual or auditory or kinetic or whatever it is, but some of our kids are very auditory. Matter of fact, Ethan, before he could even read very well, was memorizing, kind of accidentally memorizing scripture just by listening to Ryan and Callan recite their Bible quiz verses. That's all he's doing. You know, they'd recite them, and he was just kind of sitting around and passively listening to it, and so much so that he was able to join our Bible quiz team at the end of the season just by hearing it. So auditory learners are key. Let me give you some resources for that. One of the great resources online is, it's called small letters of it, Faith Comes by Hearing. And I'm going to have all these resources in the sermon. I post them online. I might even send an email around that lists all of the resources there. But on this resource, if you can see that, you can pull down any language. Obviously, you're probably going to choose English. Almost any version. And then you can download it for free. Absolutely free. I mean, you used to have to spend $50, $80 to get, do you ever have a cassette Bible, right? You ever have one of those? We had one years ago. Giant thing, you know, all these cassettes. And then, of course, the CD thing was pretty big as well, but you can do that in an hour or whatever your internet speed is. That's all for free. They also have Bible apps. You can put your scripture, you can put the audio right on your Android or Apple device, so you have that at your fingertips and listen anytime you want. A great way, maybe you can burn a CD, if you plug it into your car, you're going, and say you're going to memorize Romans 8, okay? It's not that long, and you can be memorizing it in certain ways, and I'll talk about other ways to do that. And you can listen to it on your way to work or as you're taking a walk or exercise, whatever it is. So it's a great way to reinforce your memorization. Number four, some scripture memory is necessary for evangelism. Well-known verse, 1 Peter 3. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Now, can you share the gospel with someone if you do not have some key verses memorized to share with them? You can't. Now, if you've got a Bible with you all the time, or if you carry gospel tracts with you all the time, then I guess you could do it. But how many of us always have those on hand? If you're familiar with Ray Comfort from Living Waters tracts and ministry, he laid down a challenge years ago, and it was this. He will pay anyone $1,000 if they ever catch him without some tracks on hand. So, pretty good deal, right? So, he's actually swimming one day, all right? And a guy comes up and says, aha, here's a quick $1,000, right? So he stops Ray and says, I got you, Ray, pay up. And he reaches into a pocket in his swimsuit, pulls out his Ziploc bag, and there he has his tracks. True story. Now, are you prepared like that? I'm not prepared like that. So all the more reason, be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. Do you have a hope within you? Do you want to share that hope that's within you? Do you want to be prepared for that? Then please be ready. You've got to have some scripture ready to go. Psalm 119 also has, and I'm focusing, if you can't tell, primarily on Psalm 119, but using several others as well. But verse 42, then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. So times of persecution, you have an answer. Even if you don't speak it visibly or audibly, you have it for your own self. In verse 46, I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame. I will always remember my first witnessing opportunity. I was working, it was my college years, and I was working at TJ Maxx, right? Everybody's got to have one of those jobs at some time in life. By the way, I got really good at folding towels, all right? I'm not bragging, maybe I am, but I'm really good at folding towels. I just am. That's about what I learned from TJ Maxx. So I'm at break one day, and there's this coworker, this gal, and she was struggling with something. I don't remember what it was, but I could tell she was wanting answers. You know, she was open spiritually, and I knew almost nothing. I didn't have verses ready to go, but what I did have is I had recently heard Josh McDowell. I was at the Akron University at the time, and I went to a Campus Crusade big event, filled this big venue, and listened to him. And at the end, he was saying, "Here's what I want you to do: go home. That is, if you're not convinced of this gospel thing, go home, read the third chapter of the Gospel of John 3 times. So that's all I had, okay? That's as equipped as I was. So here's this struggling woman. I said, well, here's what you do. Read the gospel, the third chapter of Gospel of John 3 times. You know what she did? She went home, read the third chapter of the Gospel of John 3 times. The next time I saw her, she said, I did that. Now what? I had nothing, okay? Absolutely nothing to give her. And I regret that to this day. But how are you prepared? Are you ready? As a struggling person at work, that wherever you find that person, are you prepared? Would you regret it the same way I regretted it? Could you show them the Romans Road? Just simple 4 passages from the book of Romans. You see, some scripture memory is absolutely necessary for evangelism. So maybe that's some verses that you want to focus on. And if you need some help with that, I can point you in the right direction. Number 5, it will help you to fight sin. Again, Psalm 119 is dead on. I've stored up your word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. How clear is that? So is verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. How did Jesus defeat Satan in the desert? With scripture. Was he carrying like a bag of scrolls? And he said, hang on, Satan, let me unroll this. And they were long. I mean, they were really long, these scrolls. Let me unroll this and find the place. Of course not. Now you say, well, he's God. He's got the whole thing memorized. That's not fair. That's not the point, is it? He had all scripture ready to go, and that's what he used to fight Satan, to fight sin. In Ephesians 6, Paul told us that the Bible is a what of the Spirit? Sword of the Spirit. How are you wielding that sword? Are you ready and able to wield it? Also, I think you're seeing here, this is more than just about Bible memory. This is all about what you do with Scripture in general, Bible reading. So many of you, I'm sure, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but many of you don't even have a habit of Scripture reading. You're hardly in the Word of God at all, let alone memorizing. That's the last thing you would ever think about. So maybe it's time for not one habit, but 2 habits, right? Some Bible reading habits and some Scripture memory habits as well. Why not start both of them? Let me give you some resources here. This is for fighting sin, but Scripture memory as well. Desiring God Ministry have this thing called Fighter Verses, and they have, again, all free. They have apps with all those verses built into it. They also have, you have to pay for this unless you want to listen to it on YouTube, Fighter Verse songs that go with all of their scripture. So I encourage you to check those out, and they are all free as well. Number six, scripture memory will be an ever-present source of comfort and blessing. Verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. 61, though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. I do not, what? Forget your law. Why? Because it's in my heart and mind. Chuck Swindoll wrote this, I know of no other single practice in the Christian life more rewarding, practically speaking, than memorizing Scripture. No other single exercise pays greater spiritual dividends. Your prayer life will be strengthened, your witnessing will be sharper and much more effective, your attitudes and outlook will begin to change, your mind will become alert and observant, your confidence and assurance will be enhanced, your faith will be solidified. Good words there from Dr. Swindoll. Number seven, memorization will help you to know God's character. And that could be true of anything about God, obviously. A couple verses from Psalm 119. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Now again, of course, this is true with all Bible reading, all Bible study, but the memorization and the meditation factors ramps us up. Do you see what this does? This isn't just understanding. It's not just a mental ascent, but it's getting it into your heart. It just ramps the whole thing up amazingly. Let me give you another resource, Verse Card Maker. Just Google Verse Card Maker. This comes up. Now, this is limited to the English Standard Version, but you can plug in any verses there, and it will create verse cards that you can just print on your own computer right there. I would recommend card stock. Now, I make about 10,000 of these for the Bible quizzes every year, so I can't commit to making any more cards for you, but you can use something like this, or you can handwrite them. It's another great, and by the way, that's another way of helping you memorize, is to write them out as well. Years ago, when I did the bulk of my scripture memory, I took one of those spiral-bound note card things, and I would handwrite the scripture out. It was NASB at the time, and I would write. I got all of like James and Ephesians on there on one of those sets. And as I would run, I was at exercise, that's how I memorized 100% of those passages while I was running. And there we go. There's a third habit, maybe, huh? Memorize, well, I won't even go there, but memorize while you exercise. That's an idea. It's an idea if you're already exercising or you want to start. Number eight, we need memorized scriptures for when we suffer. Verse 83, for I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I have not, there's that word again, I have not forgotten your statutes. Now, there are countless passages that could come to mind while you're going through a trial. And we're in the midst of one right in Romans, right? Chapter 8. Next week, we're at some of the key sections of chapter 8 for this very thing. It's some of the greatest words of comfort anywhere in all of the Bible. So again, maybe Romans 8. I don't know. It's totally up to you. Angie reminded me this morning about, what's his name? Torture for Christ. Brother Wormbrand. Brother Wormbrand, that in his unspeakable torture, all these scriptures came to mind. He had them hidden in his heart, and they came to mind at the exact time he needed them. Brother Yun, that we're talking about, also unspeakable torture, years and years in prison. He read his book. He says, Lord brought this to mind. Lord brought this to mind. Just long passages of scripture. He needed them at that time more than ever. And we may not face those kinds of trials and that kind of persecution, but it will be there eventually. Number nine, we need scripture memory for because we need wisdom and direction. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. Who is simple here? Huh? Admit it. You're simple. You don't understand what you should understand. And we've got to get into his word so we're less simple. We all need wisdom and direction. James tells us to pray for wisdom, right? And there are times that's all we can do. Pray for wisdom, and God will grant it to those who have faith. Yet we've also, there's wisdom all throughout these words, and we've got to get ourselves into it. It's a source of endless wisdom. Finally, coming to the last reason, because there are no excuses for not starting this wonderful habit. I don't think there are, but let me just take the last couple minutes here and debunk a couple of excuses. I'm too old. They might be 25 and saying, I'm too old. My memory is shot. Let me give for you here what John Piper says about this. Don't say you can't memorize because you have a bad memory. That's why you need to memorize. I have a bad memory too. I think it's worse than average. Seriously. I forget names of people I know and see regularly. I have to force my faulty, inefficient brain to drive things that matter most into my long-term memory. This only happens by the process of repeating, memorizing every day over a period of time. You'd be surprised what you can commit to memory if you have a simple system and put forth some effort. That is a key right there. Simple system and put forth some effort. I've memorized 5 New Testament books and am working on my 6th, and that's because I have a bad memory. So, won't let you have that one. Now, you might think the opposite thing. I'm too young. Well, let me say this. If you're sitting here and you have, if that comes to mind, guess what? You're not too young, all right? If you don't even know what I'm talking about, then you're too young. If you know what I'm talking about, you're not too young. And parents, what a great way, huh? To be engaged with your kids. Maybe they're 3 or 4, I don't know, and you want to take up that challenge. Maybe they're 15, you want to take up that challenge. Maybe you want to memorize the same thing. Maybe you want to compliment one another, divide a passage up. There's endless ways to do this, but you can do it together, right? It's a family discipleship opportunity. So no, I will not give you that excuse. Here's one that came to mind for me. The Pharisees memorized tons of scripture, and look what it did to them. It ruined them. Well, you know, that's right. I mean, I'm not saying the scripture memory ruined them, but they had tons of scripture memorized and look at their spiritual life. That's not the point, is it? Just to get it down. Like I said before, if you're just memorizing scripture, then don't do it. Don't waste your time if you're only going to do it for that reason. If you set out in a prayerful way to memorize God's word so that it will transform you, not merely inform you, then that's not going to happen to you. We're not going to create a bunch of Pharisees here. It's going to be a transformation process. Here is probably the biggest and last excuse. I don't have time. I got one word for that. Please. Seriously? That's 2 words. We always make time for what we value, right? We make time for what we value. So our problem is we don't value scripture memory. Because if you valued scripture memory, if you valued scripture reading, you would do it. Because we always make time for what we value. There is an economic principle called, and I don't know a lot about economics, but this is a good one, the law of incentive. Okay? So let me describe it for you. You've got a driveway. It's a quarter mile long, and your mailbox is the end of the driveway. And you usually get your mail as you're driving to or fro, whatever. But one day you decide, I'm going to walk down. I need some exercise. I'm going to walk the quarter mile. I go down there, and there's $10 in my mailbox. And I think, okay, that's cool. Pocket that. Next day you drive and get your mail. There's no $10. The next day you walk, and there's another $10 bill. You say, this is pretty good. So you're every day now. You're walking, right? And every day you walk to the mailbox, there's $10. When you happen to drive, there is no $10. What are you going to do? You're going to walk to the mailbox. Hey, $10 is $10. I multiply that by every day that the mail comes, and I'm doing pretty good in a year. And maybe if the drive was a half a mile, now you need $20 or $30, right? That's a law of incentive. You got to have some incentive for doing that effort, for putting forth that effort. And most of you, if you've never memorized scripture, haven't memorized much scripture, you don't have an incentive yet. You don't know the blessing that's going to come. And all I can say is, can you trust me on these 9-10 points? That there is a great value, there's a great incentive. So if you don't feel the incentive, it doesn't feel like something in your pocket yet, can you just know it's there? I promise you, if you have a simple system and you put forth some effort, there will be a blessing. There will be an incentive that comes your way. Let me close with this. Don't concern yourself with making a commitment this morning to memorize Scripture for the rest of your life. I'm not asking you to do that. That would be too heavy a commitment. I promise right now, I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to prayerfully consider memorizing some Scripture, whatever you want, over the next 90 days. That's all I'm asking you to do. And what I'd like us to do then is to share this challenge together. So as we have sharing time and maybe in Bible studies and personal conversations, that we talk about this. How's it going? What are you learning? Give me some incentive. I was walking up, talk about incentive, on our vacation, I was walking up this thing called, what was the name of that? Manitou Springs Incline. It used to be this cog railway, and in a 3/4 mile hike, you ascend 2,000 feet, okay? So it is steep. It is brutal. And I'm walking up that thing, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to make it. And my kids, the boys are ahead of me, and I'm saying, I got to make it, but I can't make it. And I was breathing hard. I couldn't catch my breath, and it was so hard. And as I got to the end, people were coming down the steps, and about 3 of them, I said, give me some inspiration. Give me something. Give me some inspiring words. And one guy said something, and I said, that doesn't help. Give me something else. So every person that can, help me, make me, and I made it. Yeah. I can fold towels and I can walk up a mountain. That's all I know I can do. But will you pray about this? And the one that really struck me, honestly, is that first one. God wrote his word to be memorized. I love that. I love that. So I think we'll be blessed beyond imagination if we do this together, and I hope you will. We get to now experience a different kind of fellowship. We're going to have fellowship dinner here in a few minutes, but the fellowship of the Lord's table. We get to share in that this morning. It's a great blessing the Lord has given us. And we practice open communion. If you know the Lord as your Savior, I don't care what your church background is. I don't care what denomination you come from. Please join us this morning. We ask that you come down the center aisle, go to each table, have a seat, and then we'll partake together.